Well, Father, continue to move by your Spirit. Do not stop. Lift your children even higher than they were lifted in praise and worship. Lift them so deep into the third heaven, Father God, that they'll never remember earth at all. That when they come back, they'll have all of heaven in them. And we will take all of heaven to a dark, dark world. Tonight, God entitled us, "In me and through me, all things are possible." All right? And Matthew 19:23 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Surely I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.'" Now we all know a camel cannot go through the eye of a needle, all right? "But yet God said, 'And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.' And when his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, 'Who then can be saved?' But Jesus looked at them and said to them, 'With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.' Then Peter answered and said to him, 'See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?' So Jesus said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." All right. Salvation is impossible without Jesus Christ. Y'all know that, don't you? But because Jesus died on that cross, salvation is possible. Man had nothing to do with that. Now, this is what God starts speaking. "My children, it is time to understand that with men it is not possible, but in and through me all things are possible. I tell you a truth, little ones, at this given time you must understand that I am working the impossibles. I am undoing everything the enemy has done to my church. I am setting the captives free from every bondage from the dark abyss. I am sending forth my servants to heal and restore all that the enemy has tried to destroy. He is a thief, and I am the master builder, and I restore in every area, not just one or two." So when God starts restoration, he's doing restoration from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. He's not going to skip a spot here and there. He wants to restore you totally and completely. "As servants of the Most High God, you will be endued with power from on high, who, as servants," this is God speaking, "as servants of the Most High God, you will be endued with power from on high, and as you go, the anointing will destroy every yoke." What's going to destroy the yoke? The anointing. Where does the anointing come from? The power from on high. "That anointing will destroy every yoke. Everything you think is impossible is only impossible as long as you think it is." All right? "Everything you think is impossible is only impossible as long as you think it is." This is really the time that we need to believe God for the possible to come into place. This is a time when we need to quit looking at things and say they'll never change. They won't as long as you believe that. But if you believe they're going to change, they are going to change. Because God is answering every one of our requests at this given time. God says, "My word tells you that nothing is impossible with me, and my word does not lie. Take all of heaven with you, little ones, and go forth and conquer on all sides." See, we need to go, and we need to do the work of the Father. And as we go, we need to take all of heaven with us, just not one word or two words, but the whole word, and go forth and set the captives free. God says, "Stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. Watch me do the impossible on all sides." God says, go forth as my disciples did, trusting my word in all that I instructed them to do. You have to trust God's word. If God says it in a word, it is possible to do, or it would not be in his word. And this is why God wants us to become as little children, because little kids just believe anything. Anything you say, they believe. If I say something, my two boys, they believe it. They just know it's gospel. So I better be telling them the truth. And this is the way God wants us to be. When I became born again, I really started reading the word for the first time myself, along with the Holy Spirit. And I believed everything that God said we could do. And I went forth and I did it. Man put doubt and unbelief in me, and I stopped believing that everything was in the word was true. But I have since learned that the word is true, and now I know that God can do everything through us that his word says we can. Your doubt and unbelief is what stops you from doing things for God. God said, today you are celebrating Pentecost, the beginning of the miracle-working church. See that? So he says, today you are celebrating Pentecost. The fullness of time has come for miracles, signs, and wonders to be performed by the church, not the world. The world's out there performing them because they got the devil in them, doing all kind of devil stuff. But God, it's the fullness of time when the church is going to go forth and do signs, wonders, and miracles. Get that in your spirit, man. Let it bypass this little brain you got up here that doesn't amount to anything. Let it go down into your spirit, man, and understand now is the time that God wants this to happen. Today you are celebrating Pentecost, the beginning of the miracle-working church. Now, the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. And see, I thought it was so great that Aaron sang all the songs about burn, the fire. Because that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. You know, God brought the fire into the building where they were at and filled them with the Holy Spirit. And Acts 2, verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And this was my prayers. We were saying, God, we're all together in one place here. And said, suddenly a noise came from heaven. It sounded like a strong wind blowing. This noise filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw something that looked like flames of fire. The flames were separated and stood over each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak different languages. The Holy Spirit was giving them the power to do this. You hear me? Acts 2:12 says, the people were all amazed and confused. They asked each other, what is happening? I was so desiring for that to happen in here tonight. You know, for God to just come down and zap us all out of our seats. And, you know, everybody sitting around that really wasn't full of the Holy Spirit saying, what are they doing? Amen. But it didn't occur. Not the way it might have occurred, but not the way I desired it to. All right. Then Acts 2:14 says, then Peter stood up with the other 11 apostles. He spoke loudly so that all the people could hear. He said, my Jewish brothers and all of you who live in Jerusalem, listen to me. I will tell you something you need to know. Listen carefully. And see, this is the problem with the body of Christ. We don't listen carefully to our prophetic words. And we need to listen carefully to what God's saying to us. Verse 15 says, these men are not drunk as you think. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But Joel the prophet wrote about what you see happening here today. And this is what he wrote. This is what Joel wrote. God says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And these are the last days. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will have special dreams. See that? Old men will have these special dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit on my servants, men and women, and they will prophesy. And that's what happened to Sister Deb this morning. God poured out his spirit upon her and used her to prophesy for the first time. And verse 19 said, I will work wonders in the sky above. I will cause miraculous signs on the earth below. There will be blood, fire, and thick smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon will be as red as blood. Then the great and glorious day of the Lord will come. And everyone who trusts in the Lord will be saved. And that was in Joel 2:28-32. And you know, we've had those blood moons. And I really believe that's part of this end time that's going on around about us. Then God said, what I accomplished through Pentecost over 2,000 years ago, I am doing again, once again this day. So we are now starting the days of Pentecost. We now have the fire in us, and we are going to start walking in signs, wonders, and miracles. Acts 3:1 says, one day Peter and John went to the temple area. It was 3:00 in the afternoon, which was the time for the daily temple prayer service. See, they went to the temple every day. It's a daily temple prayer service, and it was at 3:00. The men went. As they were entering the temple area, a man was there who had been crippled all his life. He was being carried by some friends who brought him to the temple every day. They put him by one of the gates outside the temple. It was called Beautiful Gate. There he begged for money from the people going to the temple. That day he saw Peter and John going into the temple area, and he asked them for money. Peter and John looked at the crippled man and said, look at us. The man looked at them. He thought they would give him some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold, but I do have something else I can give you. By the power of Jesus Christ from Nazareth, stand up and walk. Then Peter took the man's right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and legs became strong. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. He went into the temple area with them. He was walking and jumping and praising God. All the people recognized him. They knew he was the crippled man who always sat by the beautiful gate to beg for money. Now they saw this same man walking and praising God. They were amazed. They did not understand how this could happen. So, you know, when you see a street person and they're saying, will you give me a dollar? Say, well, I don't have a dollar, but I have something else for you. And just release the anointing of God into them to set them totally and completely free. Amen? Come on. And Acts 3:11 says, the man was holding on to Peter. We're still in this story. Holding on to Peter and John. All the people were amazed. They ran to Peter and John at Solomon's porch. And when Peter saw this, he said to the people, my Jewish brothers, why are you surprised at this? You are looking at us as if it was our power that made this man walk. Do you think this was done because we are good? No, Peter says, no, God did it. He is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is the God of all our fathers. He gave glory to Jesus, his special servant. And see, the problem with the body of Christ is if you're not straight with him, right with him, and walking in holiness and purity of heart, if he allowed you to do signs, wonders, and miracles, you would take all the credit. You wouldn't give any credit to God at all. You don't understand that you can't do anything. It's God in you that works through you to do the great miracles. Even if you give sermons, it's God in you that anoints those sermons to go forth and do the works that God's chosen them to be. Then God said, church, it is breakout time. Time to break out of the normal and into the supernatural. My supernatural powers are already permeating the atmosphere, and they are already at work doing a perfect works within the land. It is already here. We aren't waiting for it to come. He said, my supernatural powers are already permeating the atmosphere, and they are already at work doing a perfect works within the land. God says, I tell you a truth once again. You will be endued with so much power that even your shadow will heal the sick. Lepers will be cleansed and all demonic forces will scream and flee on all sides. Come on. This does happen in this time period. It does happen in this age. It isn't just for the word. It happens now. The problem is, there's not enough holy ones out there walking holy before God that God can endue that power in them and trust them with it. And so people are sitting around being crippled and maimed and, you know, drug addicts, alcoholics, because we don't have the power and authority that God would desire for us to carry. You don't understand. You have to go deeper than you've ever gone before. But God's supernatural power, I know it's already there. God is waiting for you to understand it's already there, and he's waiting for you to step into that glory realm. He's waiting for you to stretch out your hands and speak by faith healing into that person. Acts 5:15 says, so the people brought those who were sick into the streets and put them on little beds and mats. They were hoping that Peter's shadow might fall on them as he walked by. People came from all the towns around Jerusalem. They brought those who were sick or troubled by evil spirits. All of them were healed. All of them were healed. And God said, church, this is where you're at. Rejoice in it. You are in this time frame where God's supernatural power is supposed to go with you wherever you go. And when people will hear the word, oh, you know, so-and-so is in town, and they'll bring all their sick and lay them on the streets wherever they know you're going to stay for the night so that when you walk by, they will be healed. Catherine Coleman was so anointed by God when she stayed in a motel and she walked out her door, whoever was in the hallway went out in the spirit. I mean, you know, come on. You can carry that anointing. The problem is you don't want to give up that 1% you're holding on to of the evil that's in your mind. You're still holding on to that darkness that's going to keep you out of the light that God's trying to put you into. Come on. There's something going on in here right now that's not godly, and this is why God is changing the way he's giving this message. Somebody in here is not godly. You are using some sort of darkness in you to try to disturb other people around about you. You need to stop right now in the name of Jesus. You have no place in this church. God has made this a holy church. One without spot and wrinkle. We don't need you coming in here and tainting what God has made holy. Because this isn't how this message should be going. It really shouldn't. All right, God said, church, this is where you're at. Rejoice in this. What was in the shadow of Peter that healed people? This God speaking, isn't God said his supernatural power, but I put down God's supernatural power. That was what was in Peter. Do not ever question your authority in me ever again. I have given you all authority. And Matthew 10:7 says, when you go out there in the streets, tell them this, God's kingdom is now very near. Heal the sick, bring the dead back to life, heal the people who have leprosy, and force demons out of people. I give you these powers freely, so help others freely. What are you supposed to be doing? When you go, this is God's protocol, when you go, tell them this, God's kingdom is now very near. Heal the sick, bring the dead back to life, heal the people who have leprosy, and force, don't play around with them and say, you better come out, you little devil. Force demons out of the people. I give you these powers freely, so help others freely. God has endued you with power. It didn't cost you anything. Yes, it did. It cost you your life. Because we had to die out to self, right? 100% die out to self. But still, you got it freely, all right? Now, freely go out there and free somebody else. Why do you want to hold on to something and not be able to bring in the harvest? Why do you do that? That's my question to you tonight. Why do you do that? That's a question if my staff will tell you, I ask that question all the time. Why do they do that? Don't they understand they're destroying their own ministries by holding on to one little piece of darkness? Amen. All right. God said, as you follow my protocol, all heaven will be at your side. Whatever you place your hand to do, I will accomplish. But you must have faith. That's one part of his protocol. You must trust me. You must understand that without me, you can do nothing. But in me and through me, all things are possible. Hello, Pentecost, you should be rejoicing. There should be so much fire in you that you want to run out that door and go get somebody saved. That you want to release that anointing that's in you into somebody else so that they can know what you know and be as happy as you are. Amen. God says, don't you want to see legs where there were no legs? Don't you want to see a mind restored where the enemy came in and captured the mind? Don't you want to see miracle after miracle? And God said, then come with me this day, and understand that in me you can accomplish all things you place your hands to accomplish. Now, really, truly, God couldn't use Elaine to do that right now because she'd rip the streets apart. Yes, he can use you. But she would get so excited, she'd get down there, boy, she'd be laying hands on everybody, and everybody'd be out in the street. Police come by, she laid hands on them too, and they'd be out, right? Remember the one time the policeman came in here and he went out in the spirit? Somebody was complaining that we was too noisy in here, and he came in here, and the spirit hit him, and he went out in the spirit too. So, you know, once again, we are at the day of Pentecost. Once again, signs, wonders, and miracles are going to start occurring. And once again, we have to be at our post, be doing the things God's calling us for to do. Your words, God says, your words will carry tremendous weight. And as you come to the throne of grace and enter into the courts of heaven, you will win every case you present to me. Come on. Brother Brett is going to talk about the courts of heaven again because God's given us some really deep revelation that I said the people need to hear, so I assigned him to teach it. But you need to be here Wednesday night and hear what this new revelation God has given us about the courts. So your words will carry tremendous weight. Do your words carry weight right now? Does the devil flee from you? Does he stand there and laugh at you? You know, I think when I said that, I think about whenever Bob Larson does deliverance, and he'll tell that devil to come out, and that devil laughs, and I'm not going nowhere. And Bob Larson knows, yes, you are too. And he smacks that Bible in that person's back, pokes him in the belly, and with a cross, and out that devil comes. He doesn't play with no devil. Amen. So when the devil says to him, I'm not going anywhere, he's, oh, yes, you are. And we have to be the same way, right? So anyhow, his words carry weight is what I'm getting at there. And as you come to the throne of grace and enter into the courts of heaven, you will win every case you present to me, just not one or two. Why aren't we winning the case in the courtrooms with about our children? Think about that. Do your words carry weight? Are you still walking around doing something you're not supposed to be doing? Do you have a sin in your life that God's asked you for and you haven't given it to him yet? You know, I don't know. You know, I just throw that out there so you can think. Start thinking with this little brain you got here. And, you know, ask, what is in me that's keeping me from carrying the Shekinah glory? And then listen for him. Then let him tell you what is in you that's keeping you from carrying the Shekinah glory. And then allow him to change you. God says, never hold back. Ask largely and receive largely. You hear that? Ask largely and receive largely. I said, God, knock them all out of their seats and let them be forever changed. Didn't happen, but I asked largely, just not, oh, knock Sister Nancy out or Brother Chris. I said, knock them all out of their seat, including me. And let us lay here in this floor for hours. And we come back up again. We're changed. We're different, you know. You know, I hear somebody being in the house of God, praising God and going out in the spirit. Then they go to their job sites and they act like a fool. Now, why does that happen? There's no God being shown. So, see, that kind of stuff shouldn't happen. Always remember, no thing is too big for me to handle. All it takes is faith to step forward and do. Won't you step up to the plate and give me your all this night? God said, won't you step up and receive the mantle of miracles? Well, if you're going to say yes, then you have to live godly 24/7, 365 days a year. You can't live godly one day and be the devil the next day. So be careful of saying yes, because if you have a little bit of the devil in you, that just made him jump up. He said, oh, really now? We'll just see if you can live holy. I'm serious. And God said, won't you be like the disciples of old and just go forth knowing who accomplishes all things through your hands and words? See, I believe the problem of the body of Christ is that we don't understand it's not you doing anything except be and go. And it's a God in you that does the work through you that heals the people. I am waiting with open arms to bless you and not curse you and to shower you with all power and all authority. Freely you have received, freely give out. He tells us that again. He's waiting how? with open arms to receive you. Then that's all God said. Then I said, after God gave me this message, he said, you are the church of the open door. You know, the lighthouse, he's talking, me is a lighthouse church. You are the church of the open door. And so I went to Revelation 3, where it talks about the Philadelphia church, which is what we are. Revelation 3:7. Write this to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Here is a message from the one who is holy and true, the one who holds the key of David. When he opens something, it cannot be closed. And when he closes something, it cannot be opened. I don't know what I know. I'm sorry. I know what you do. I have put before you an open door that no one can close. I know you are weak, but you have followed my teaching. You were not afraid to speak my name. Listen, there is a group that belongs to Satan. They say they are Jews, but they are liars. They are not true Jews. I will make them come before you and bow at your feet. They will know that you are the people I have loved. People make fun of the Lighthouse Church all the time. They can't figure out why I am so dense that I stay here all these years preaching to a handful of people. They think I've just lost my mind. But what does God say? I will make them come before you and bow at your feet. They will know that you are the people I have loved. And God said, you followed my commandment to endure patiently. So I will keep you from the time of trouble that will come to the world, a time that will test everyone living on earth. If you stay faithful to God and live a holy life, you're not going to be touched by what's coming upon this land. The word of God just said so. God said in verse 11 says, I am coming soon. Hold on to the faith you have so that no one can take away your crown. God told me I was walking. I was always right there, right where Alan sits whenever God would speak to me. He said, daughter, don't let any man steal your crown. And that means don't let any lustful thing that comes in the house of God pull you away from God. But stay loyal and be holy before a holy God. Verse 12 says, those who win the victory will be pillars in the temple of my God. God is looking for strong men, and I don't mean women, strong men, because men have gone astray horribly from the Bible. God is looking for strong men. And he said, those who win the victory will be pillars in the temple of my God. I will make that happen for them. They will never again have to leave God's temple. I will write on them the name of my God and name of the city of my God. That city is the new Jerusalem. It is coming down out of heaven from my God. I will always write my new name on them. Everyone who hears this should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. I want to stop there because from the time I started ministering 40-some years ago, I'd always see this eye. And I said, God, what are you looking for now? He said, I'm still looking for men who would get out of their sins and become fathers in my house and lead my men to me. Are you one of those men tonight? Are you willing to lay down those sins that so easily beset you and allow God's power to consume you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet and go forth and be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I just spoke to men about that, but you women is the same thing. There's women sitting in the house of God. They're Jezebels and they have lust and they bring their lust into the house of God and to destroy the men in the house of God. Are you willing to lay that spirit of Jezebel aside, destroy it, crush it, so that God can use you as a true woman of God to come forth, to go forth and to minister to other women who are bound and set them free? There for a season, God was looking for women who would be holy women and walk upright in all their ways to lead other women out of the bondage that they were in. But now he's going to the men. He's already filtered out and has the women he wants. Now he's going to the men. And men, I don't know how long he's going to work with you. But if I was you, I'd get it together right this second. And I would not go to the right nor to the left in the second one. I'd be walking my eyes upon Jesus all the time. Where are we at? Verse 14 says, write this to the angel of the church in Laodicea. Here is a message from the men. I don't want to do that. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have wrote that down. We wanted to stop at verse 13, okay? Not why I wrote the other scripture down. That's a different church. What God wants to do tonight, because we are the church of the open door, what God wants to do tonight, he wants to bless each and every one of us here tonight. He says, in me and through me, all things are possible. He wants to drop an anointing on you that will stay with you from this moment forth, and wherever you go, signs, wonders, and miracles will occur. If you're walking holy before a holy God. Now, you can't sit there and say, God, I'll do all you want me to do, and then the minute you walk out the door, do something stupid, that you've just lost everything you just gained from God. Really, is darkness worth what God is going to use you to do? And, you know, whenever he was talking about, you know, a rich person couldn't go into heaven, I thought about all the churches out there that have five or six, you know, Mercedes second sitting in their driveway. They have their, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a jet. I'm not, because they need those to travel. But the ones that have jets just to have jets, and I know those are out there. They have these big, beautiful homes with all their maids and everything else. They really aren't winning people to Christ. If you really watch your ministries, they're not winning people to Christ. I love the article about Kenneth Copeland the other day, because I know that's a godly man. Has been from the day he got smacked on the head and got born again. And his whole family walks in holiness. His entire family walks in holiness. There's not one that does not walk in holiness. That's because a godly man led his family to Christ. See, him and his wife got saved, drastically saved, before they started having children. And then they stayed saved. And there's an article about him, and he really was really good the way he answered the questions. But he can only do that because he's walking with God 100%. He couldn't have done that interview if he wasn't walking with God 100%. And see, when you're walking with God 100%, God speaks through you. God answers the world's questions, and it will strike home. Amen. One time when I first started, they had me on radio. They were interviewing me, and the woman was trying to put me down. But God shut my mouth and wouldn't let me say a word. And she said, don't you have something to say? And I said, no. So she ended the interview, and it was because she was trying to destroy what God was doing, and God wouldn't allow that. So why I said this is because God, if you want to keep the enemy in you, go ahead. But God will never let you open your mouth to minister to people, because he's not going to let that enemy in you destroy other people. Other people might think you're godly. People that are not walking close to God might think you're godly, because you can put on a godly face. But if you're really walking close to God, you will discern who is godly and who is not. All right? Always remember that. Be aware when you go out there that there's ungodly people around professing to know Christ, and they're not living for Christ. Tonight, God doesn't want you to be one of them people. He wants you to be a person so full of him that he can send you out there into the biggest wolf den you've ever wanted to see. Wolf or whatever. Wolf, wolf, you know, W-O-L-F. And they won't be able to touch you. And you will break up that pack with the power of God. And, you know, whenever you see somebody that's sick, you don't even have to touch a person. Do you realize you don't have to touch somebody? Everybody wants to touch. I did this. No, you don't. Didn't. That's why I quit laying hands on people, because everybody said, well, she pushed me, or she did this and she did that. So I just say, it's God, not me. And so if you go down, it's because either you didn't want to be embarrassed by standing there, or God knocked you. This Holy Spirit knocked you down. I prove I don't have to touch you. Say, but how about you? Do you have to touch people to prove that you, it's coming from you? Why not let God do the work? It's God's church, right? If you have a ministry, it's God's ministry. Is this right? Right? I mean, there's some of us in this body of Christ right now that's sick, and we're trying to figure out why are we not healed? And we know we're not in sin, but the sickness is still there. God knows of that song, Only God Knows, or however that song goes. You know, God knows all things. He knows why this is going on. Just like Frances Hunter, you know, she had that big sore in her leg, and she had that big, her and her husband had a big, they had a big healing ministry. And she was just believing God was going to heal that leg. And finally, she was about ready to lose her leg. And God said, I need you to go get that leg operated on. And here was a couple who walked in great signs, wonders, and miracles. But God said, you need to go and have that leg operated on, or you're going to lose it. So she went and had it operated on, and God healed it instantly. You know, she didn't have a long period of coming. He healed it instantly, and she stayed in her ministry. We're not God. We don't know why he does what he does. Maybe God had to put her in check. Maybe there was something going out of whack. I don't know. But see, these are things we have to think about. These are things we have to take to the Father about. And we have to understand where we're coming from, where God's coming from in us, so that when he sends us out there, we'll do a perfect work. Now, God has told me that the Catherine Coleman anointing is resting upon this church. And he told me we are just about ready to go into the bigger church that with great signs, wonders, and miracles. And we won't have to do anything because his anointing is going to be so strong in that building that people are just going to come in and be healed or be delivered. Whatever they need, it's going to happen. But I have to stay holy. I have to stay holy. Why? Because he's put me head of this church. Now, if I don't stay holy, this whole church would go down. Do you understand that? Somebody else could go start another one, but this church would fall. There's many times you have been with me, I wanted to close the doors, and God said, you're not closing them. I opened them, and you can't shut them. And we didn't. We kept, and God kept them open, and God keeps us going. It's God that's always in control. I know that. I live by that. And God's telling me that I always hold the standard high. And this is what he needs you to do. Hold your standards in your walk with God high. And quit coming down to other people's level. You stay where God has you. Make them come up. Are you understanding this tonight? Now, do you want the anointing that God wants to give you, that every place you go, there'll be great signs, wonders, and miracles being performed? If you do, the altar's open. We are in the fullness of time. Do not lose this weekend. You're listening. We are in the weekend of Pentecost. Do not lose this weekend. If you lose this weekend, then you've lost out. Keep everything that God has given you and move forward. Move forward.